As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
The president said he was elected to get rid of migrant criminals, and he was. And he won overwhelmingly running on that. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Memorial Day is just around the corner. You need to make your Memorial Day vacation plans now and mark down June 20th for our next live show and first live show of the year. Will be June 20th. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Friday, June 20th at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Here's the deal. The president today at the Oval Office signing this act to make commercial fishing in America something that is fair and something that is equitable in terms of the fishermen, because they won't have to worry about stupid freaking government regulations anymore. I love this stuff. I really do. I love this stuff. I love when the president goes after regulations and nonsense and all the other things that they do. It makes me very, very happy. It makes me very happy that this happens. So I'm glad. And I'm really glad as well. I just got invited by the White House to go to the White House when the Eagles go on the 28th of April. Right. It's a little bit tricky, though, because I'm going to be off for a week and then I have to be in New York for Fox News that morning, and then I guess I have to take a train to D.C. I got to figure all the logistics out. But how cool is that, huh? Nice. I think they heard me say I should have been invited for the Italian prime minister. And then they felt bad, so they invited me for the Eagles thing. But would have been better to be there with Giorgia Meloni. I'm just saying. I'm throwing that out. I'm just saying. Giorgia Meloni, the Italian prime minister. And she talked about the great friendship they have with the United States of America. And we have some audio for you from their visit today. There's a couple clips. So the first one is the Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, talking about how the United States is a great friend and a great partner. And I guess this will be the first one that I sent you guys. And she destroyed the media's favorite narrative that Trump is turning his back on Europe and destroying alliances. Take a listen.
Oh.
No?
Hang on, I thought Justin had that one.
What do you have? Just play whatever you have. What do you got?
I can play the audio. Here we go.
No, I'd rather get the video. I'll just vamp for a minute. Can you load the video? All right, let's hear the "I will make Italy great again."
But at the end of the day, look, somebody calls me, I was saying it before, such a Western nationalism, I don't know if it is the right word, but I know that when I speak about West, mainly I don't speak about a geographical space. I speak about a civilization. And I want to make that civilization stronger. So I think even if we have some problems, between the two shores of the Atlantic, it is the time that we try to sit down and find solutions. So I want to thank President Trump for having accepted an invitation to pay an official visit to Rome in the near future, and consider a possibility in that occasion to meet also with Europe. The goal for me is to make the West great again. Okay, and I think we can do it together.
We can.
Make America and the West and Italy great again. So the president will go to Rome, and he'll have an official visit with the Italian prime minister. Very, very cool. That's good. That's good stuff. I'm happy to hear that. It makes me happy. See, good alliances, strong alliances. And Meloni's great. She's a fighter for economic independence, and she's a fighter for capitalism. And Italy's got a lot of problems. And Italy also had a ton of regulations as well. And she, like Javier Milei, has been addressing those things head on. And that's why I love it. I think it's fantastic. So I'm going to tell you what the president also said today. He said, you know, I was elected to deport these very dangerous criminals. That's what I was elected to do. I was elected to deport these people and to get rid of them. And he's exactly right. He was deported. I mean, he was elected to do these things. By and he won all seven swing states, including Pennsylvania, and he won the popular vote and the Electoral College vote. He won all of these things because he said to the American people, I'm going to deport mass deportations. He didn't lie about it. He didn't hide behind it. He went full bore running on this, just like he ran on tariffs, and said he was going to do these things. Nobody should be surprised, except that I guess we're so used to in this country politicians not actually doing what they say they're going to do. And maybe we forgot what it was like in Trump's first term, that he actually does what he says he's going to do. But I mean, for these Democrats to go down to El Salvador and grandstand in front of an MS-13 gang member who's been deported, who had a standing deportation order, just so politically stupid. When the guy who got elected, seven swing states, popular vote, Electoral College vote, said he was going to deport violent criminals, mass deportations. He didn't hide behind it. He didn't come out and say immigrants are more fertile. That was Jeb, exclamation mark. Trump made it very clear what he was going to do, and the American people voted for him. But honestly, I really do. I think we have a situation in this country where we're just so used to politicians just saying things and not actually meaning them. But I guess people thought he was just faking it. I don't know. Or the Democrats are so politically stupid, they can't see the fact that they just got crushed in the last election because their candidate was somebody who was out there talking about giving sex changes to illegal immigrant criminals in prison. Yeah, that's right. Kamala Harris said she would pay for sex changes for violent criminals in prison, including illegal immigrants. And she lost badly. It wasn't even close. She got hammered. Well, I mean, she's always hammered, but you know what I mean? Hammered electorally, and also hammered as she normally does just on a day-to-day basis. Do you have the other Georgia Meloni clip by chance? All right. This is, again, the prime minister and the president in the Oval Office today. Take a listen.
We both share another fight, which is the fight against the woke and EDI ideology that would like to erase our history. And as I know that we share lots of things on tackling illegal migration, fighting against synthetic drugs. You know, Italy has been one of the nations that made a plan against fentanyl, for example. But we have been talking about many bilateral topics and things that we can do together, right, about defense, about economic, about economy, about space, about energy. Italy will have to increase its LNG imports. And also nuclear that we are trying to develop. I think there can be ways to work together. And the Italian enterprises will invest, as they've been doing for many years, as you know, in the next years, I think around 10 billion. Yeah. That shows how interconnected our economies are.
They are interconnected. So I love the fact she's going after woke and DEI. I love that. It's great because Europe had a real problem with woke and DEI nonsense, a huge problem with it. And a lot of these countries in Europe are finally now realizing that that's not where the world wants to be. So I'm thrilled to hear her say that. And she also delivered a masterclass at lunch. They had this meeting, I guess it might have been the luncheon or it might have been just a simple sit down meeting, but there were a number of people there. And she silenced a reporter with a fearless message for Trump. Is this the one that you guys played? I'm not sure if you played this one already yet or not. Justin, did you play this one? Okay. All right. This is them. Take a listen to this.
The retaliatory tariffs that the European Commission passed and then suspended, are they still on the table if you cannot make a deal with President Trump?
I'm sure we can make a deal, and I'm here to help on that. I cannot, deal in the name of the European Union. My goal would be invite President Trump to pay an official visit to Italy and understand if there's a possibility when he comes to organize also such a meeting with Europe. For I think the best way is that we simply speak frankly about the needs that every one of us has and find ourselves in the middle for... That's useful for all. Somebody calls me Western nationalism. I don't know if it is the right word. But I'm sure that together we are stronger. And I have to find a way, I'm here to find the best way to make us both stronger on the two shores of the Atlantic.
We're going to have very little problem making a deal with Europe or anybody else. Because we have something that everybody wants. You know what that means, right? We have something that everybody wants. We're going to have very little problem.
Very little problem. We got something everybody wants, and what they want is access to American markets. That's what they want. Good. And the president also said, and I played this clip earlier in the show, but let's replay it. This is from the earlier today. I believe this is cut number, if I'm not mistaken here, 23. The president saying, Italy is one of our great allies. We have a lot of Italians in the country. I know we have a lot of Italians in the Zioli army. We have a lot of Italians in this part of the country. A lot of Italians. It's frankly why we should all be there today with the Italian prime minister. But that's okay. It's all right. Not bitter or jaded at all that I wasn't invited. Cut 23.
Do you think that Italy can be your best ally in Europe and also clear or not this recommends?
Only if the prime minister remains the prime minister can it be our best. She's doing a great job. And certainly one of our great allies, not just in Europe, anywhere. She's a fantastic person and doing a great job. And our relationship is great. And we have a lot of Italians in this country, I tell you, and they like Trump, and they voted for Trump.
They do. The Italians, they like him. I mean, Sylvester Stallone's on board. So is his brother Frank. That's right. Big time on board. All right. We also have another clip here of the president. So he signs an executive order in the Oval Office. But before I get to that, he talked about the shooting at FSU today. And, you know, I mean, he's right. Terrible thing. The gun doesn't do the shooting. In this case, it was a deputy's son, a sheriff's deputy's son who did this. Awful, awful, tragic situation. Used a handgun. So I'm sure Democrats are still going to scream for AR-15 bans. And even though there wasn't an AR-15 used in this, they'll still scream about bans. They'll scream about assault weapons. I mean, it just goes to show you something I've been saying for years, which is that you can have all the gun control in the world. If you have a crazy person, the intersection of crazy and evil, and they have access to a weapon, they're going to hurt people. And, you know, you could ban AR-15s and somebody will use a handgun. You could ban handguns and somebody will use a shotgun. You could ban shotguns and somebody will use their car or a knife. I mean, it's just the problem is the person. The problem is not the object. And the sooner that everybody can understand that, the better. But I'm sure there will be calls and cries from Democrats about more gun control. It would have done nothing in this situation. But they love to grandstand. But I think what the president said here is correct. Take a listen.
I'm a big advocate of the Second Amendment. I have been from the beginning. I protected it. And these things are terrible. But the gun doesn't do the shooting. The people do. It's, you know, a phrase that's used probably too often. I will tell you that it's a shame. I'm just hearing about it now. I just hear about it. I know the area very well. I know the school very well. I know everything about it. It's Florida. And we'll have more to say about it later.
What do you mean when you say there will be more to say about it?
Only in terms of what happened. As far as legislation is concerned, this has been going on for a long time. I have an obligation to protect the Second Amendment. I ran on the Second Amendment, among many other things, and I will always protect the Second Amendment.
Good. You have to. It's essential to our country. It's essential to our liberty. And banning guns, banning the Second Amendment is not going to, unfortunately, change these kind of situations. It seems from the reporting that this was the sheriff's old service weapon that she had purchased after she was given a new service weapon. But, it's not something that can be treated with more laws, you know, sadly. I mean, if there was a magic law that would do it. But there isn't. And you know that, and I know that, and everybody knows that. We have a mental health crisis in this country. I imagine as the days go on, we'll learn more about this this shooter, and I would imagine we'll probably. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out he's on medication, psychotropic drugs, or something else. So I don't know. It just seems to be a pattern of these things. Again, I don't know, and I hate speculating on things, but. We know that it's clearly these are mental health issues. So we'll find out hopefully more details as we go on. Then the president signed an executive order on phishing. All right. But before he did that, he was asked a question about the Supreme Court hearing birthright citizenship. And I talked about this earlier in the show today in the 3 o'clock hour, the concept of birthright citizenship and the 14th Amendment, which in my opinion does not guarantee that you are a U.S. citizen, just merely being born on U.S. soil based on the 14th Amendment, the ratification, the debates they had on the time of the passage of the 14th Amendment, the speeches that were said, the writings that were said, and the issue of having foreign officials in the United States of America for long periods of time who would have kids and have families and all these things. So the president was asked about that. Now the Supreme Court has said they are going to hear the case of the president's executive order to end birthright citizenship. Take a listen.
Breaking news, a short time ago, the Supreme Court agreed to hear oral arguments in the case about ending birthright citizenship. How confident are you that the court will rule in your favor and allow that order to end birthright citizenship to go forward?
Well, you just telling me that for the first time. I am so happy. I think the case has been so misunderstood. That case, birthright citizenship, is about slavery. If you look at the details of it, the signings of it, everything else, that case is all about slavery. And if you view it from that standpoint, people understand it. But for some reason, lawyers don't talk about it. The news doesn't talk about it. That's not about tourists coming in and touching a piece of sand and all of a sudden they're a citizenship. You know, they're a citizen. That is all about slavery. And even look at the dates on which it was signed. It was right at that era, right after the Civil War. And if you look at it that way, the case is an easy case to win. And I hope the lawyers talk about birthright, citizenship, and slavery, because that's what it was all about. And it was a very positive, it was meant to be positive. And they use it now instead, not for slavery, they use it for people that come into our country and they walk in and all of a sudden they become citizens and they pay a lot of money to different cartels and others. It's all about slavery, and if you look at it that way, we should win that case.
It is about slavery. He's right. And there was nothing that said that if you were just happened to be in the U.S., passing through, here at a diplomatic mission or anything like that, then your kids become U.S. citizens. And they talked about this at the time. They talked about this at the time of ratification of the 14th Amendment. These were conversations that they had. Because it was very important that we just don't give away our citizenship in this country. It has to mean something. It has to mean something. Otherwise, it means nothing. That's the bottom line. So what should I do? Is it worth jumping in on this, Matt?
Probably not. We pretty much just played the highlights of what happened. It's not live, to be clear. It's sort of a repeat of what happened earlier and what we're playing clips of right now. So we'd be double dipping, sort of.
No, I don't want to double dip. Take one
Nobody
ship and end
dipper.
It. All right?
Yeah.
Take one ship and end it. All right. Then the president talked about this executive order today. He was signing about fishing to make fishing great again. And the fishermen and fisherwomen, I don't know. They're happy about it. That's all I know. They're happy about it. Take a listen.
Mr. President, this is such a great honor. You know, today in American Samoa, we're celebrating the 125th Flag Day. It's the first day celebrating when the U.S. flag was first raised there. This very moment, they're celebrating that. So this is a monumental occasion for the people of American Samoa, and we are truly...
So this is a big thing that's going on right now.
Because we're a tuna-dependent economy. 99.5% of our exports is tuna.
99.5%? Yeah. Well, what about the other half?
About 80% of our private employment is related to the tuna industry. So, yes, this is a big thing for...
What's this going to do in terms... It's so interesting to me. It's so horrible and so stupid. It's so stupid. We're talking about a massive ocean, and they're forced to travel 4 to 7 days to go and fish.
Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick put it... Oh, sorry. Is there more to that?
So, how is this going to affect your business? It's going to be many more... I mean, you're going to be able to do much more business, I would think, right?
Yes, we would think that this will definitely result in more fish deliveries. And more fish deliveries is more economic gains for the territory.
The executive order to restore American seafood competitiveness by reducing regulatory burdens, combating unfair trade, and enhancing production and exports. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick said the economic zone around Hawaii and Samoa is huge. And it's exclusively ours, so why wouldn't we have our fishermen fish there? Every country in the world, they all fish the 200 miles off the coast, and we were stopping our own fishermen. I'm sure it had something to do with some stupid environmental rule that some stupid environmental person made that was never voted on by Congress, probably made by either one of the various agencies out there with 3 and 4 letters, NOAA or whatever. You know, probably to protect some endangered fish. And because they don't pass laws, it was just a rule that was promulgated. So now this president is undoing the rule that was promulgated by some other idiotic administration. So now the people of America, Samoa and America will now be able to expand their commercial fishing in the Pacific Ocean. And I would imagine the Atlantic Ocean as well, I would imagine. But maybe this is just specific to the Pacific. It's a proclamation opening the Pacific Remote Islands Marine National Monument to commercial fishing, giving a big boost to the economy of American Samoa and other Pacific islands. So there you go. That's a big deal. Anything we can do to make every industry have less regulations and to make it easier is better. Okay, absolutely 100% better in every single way. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariA, VanariaDental.com. President also commented about the situation with Iran and the situation with Russia. A number of things came up today at the Oval Office. So first of all, let's cue up cut 21. He was asked about Iran and Israel and the whole idea of Iran getting a nuclear weapon and whether or not there is an Israeli plan to attack nuclear facilities. Cut 21.
And they said the attack is what?
That you waved off an Israeli plan to attack Iranian nuclear facilities.
I wouldn't say waved off. I'm not in a rush to do it because I think that Iran has a chance to have a great country. And to live happily without death, and I'd like to see that. That's my first option. If there's a second option, I think it would be very bad for Iran. And I think Iran is wanting to talk. I hope they're wanting to talk. It's going to be very good for them if they do. And I'd like to see Iran thrive in the future, do fantastically well. I know the Iranian people. They're incredible people. Always have been very smart, very energetic, very successful people. And I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt anybody. I really don't. But Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. It's, you know, pretty simple. It's really simple. We're not looking to take their industry. We're not looking to take their land. We're not. All we're saying is you can't have a nuclear weapon.
Something we talked about with Dr. Victoria Coates yesterday, too. Now, we helped them under Barack Obama's stupidity. We helped them create the means by which to get a nuclear weapon with that stupid Iranian nuclear deal. And the argument that the Obama administration made back then was, well, they're going to do it anyway. So then we helped them. I mean, look, Iran's a sovereign country, and Iran, like any other sovereign country, can try to do what it wants. But the United States was actively helping them and actively giving them money. And now we are dealing with a situation with Iran where we are trying very hard to work with them to make sure that that does not come to fruition, where they don't get a nuclear weapon. Apparently, this strike that Israel was looking to do, which the president was able to convince them not to do, according to the Wall Street Journal story, Mike Waltz, the national security advisor, was gung-ho. But thankfully, we have people there like Tulsi Gabbard, J.D. Vance, the chief of staff, Susie Wiles, and the secretary of defense, Pete Hegseth, who were all against the strike. And so they were able to convince Israel not to strike Iran. And that's what I mean about this president in terms of peace and not wanting to have more war and not looking to engage the United States and our sons and our daughters and our treasury and our blood in more bloodshed around the world. And, you know, he said it. I mean, he's kind of modest about it, which is sort of unlike Trump, but he was kind of modest about it. Like, well, I don't know if I really. Of course he did. Told him not to do it. Said don't. And unlike the previous administration, when Trump says don't, they don't. Like, you remember Joe Biden's whole thing was don't, and then they did? So when Trump says don't, countries don't. That's the difference. Now, the other issue is Russia and Ukraine and wrapping up that war. And the president was asked about that today with Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni at the White House. Cut 22.
I don't hold Zelensky responsible, but I'm not exactly thrilled with the fact that that war started. That was a war that would have never started if I were president. You'd have millions of people living right now that are dead. You'd have cities that would be open and thriving, and they'd have their beautiful turrets. Those turrets are the most beautiful in the world, but they're not with us any longer. They're smashed to smithereens, laying on the ground in a million pieces, getting hit by rockets, bombs, and bullets. And so I'm not happy with him, and I'm not happy with anybody involved. I think it's a war. I know it's a war. It didn't happen for 4 years. It was never close to happening. It was never even a thought. And I spoke to President Putin about it a lot. It was the apple of his eye, but there's no way he would have ever gone in if I were president. Now I'm trying to get him to stop because, as you know, Russia's a lot bigger. It's a bigger military force. And if you're smart, you don't go involved and get involved in wars that you can blame the man that was sitting in this seat, Biden. He didn't know what the hell was going on. But I can guarantee you that. And everybody agrees to it. If I were president, that war would have never taken place. I'm not blaming him. But what I am saying is that I wouldn't say he's done the greatest job. Okay? I'm not a big fan. I really am. I'm not a big fan.
There you go. Let's see if we can get a resolution. That would be really, really nice if we can finally get peace. And I think it's great that we want it. It's a good thing. Very, very good thing. You know what's also good? A healthy lawn. A healthy lawn, beautiful, lush green grass, and fewer weeds. And that's the guarantee. The Natural Lawn of America guarantee that you're going to get when you choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. And in addition to that, they're going to seed your lawn for free every year. That's right. All you got to do is call 1-800-FREE-SEED and sign up for my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. You will get greener grass, you will get fewer weeds, and it is guaranteed, and that's the Natural Lawn of America way, because they're a local family-owned company. I can't tell you how many of these big national lawn care companies I see out there, and they drive by, they spray a lawn, they move on to the next lawn and spray it. No, not natural lawn. It's a customized program with safer organic fertilizers, insect control that actually works, and guaranteed results. And the overseeding that they do every year when they seed your lawn for free makes such a difference. You sign up for their full service program and they will seed your lawn for free every year, just like they do my lawn. It's a no-brainer. You're going to have beautiful lawn, the envy of the neighborhood, and you're going to have fewer weeds. And it's guaranteed, and it's safer for the kids and safer for the pets. Just call 1-800-FREE-SEED, 1-800-FREE-SEED, and choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
First of all, the question of whether or not this sports announcer should have asked out this girl and all the outrage that it's causing. It's unbelievable. I don't know. I mean, both of you guys have fake girlfriends. But theoretically, if they were real, how do you ask a girl out these days?
Probably not on national television.
Not on national television?
No. No, and the real reason, one, it is a little bit creepy because you put her on the spot. She can't really say no without coming off as like a jerk, and that seems unfair. Yeah. But then also, if you are rejected, that's humiliating. I would never run the risk of embarrassing myself that bad.
Justin?
I'd did enough of embarrassing things in high school to last a lifetime, so I would never. It's for the same reason Matt said. The risk of rejection, and if you are rejected, you're doing it in front of on a national stage. I know. That frightens me to death.
Well, we have the clip, in case anybody wants to know what happened here. So the Atlanta Braves... There was it was a game, I guess it was it last night or the night before?
I think it was last night.
Last night? It was Monday's game against the Toronto Blue Jays. A sideline reporter got the phone number of a female fan he had just interviewed when encouraged to do so on air by his fellow announcers. FanDuel Sports Network Braves reporter Wiley Ballard hosted a show called The Field Report. During the top of the fifth inning in Toronto, he spoke to two female fans about their Braves fandom. One noted she was not quite a Braves fan yet. Bauer then attempted a transition back to the Braves play-by-play announcer Brandon Gaudin and color analyst CJ Nitkowski. This is what took place here, and he's getting all kinds of backlash for this. Cut 20.
We're having a lot of fun up here up the Corona rooftop. Who do we got here? What's your name?
My name's Lauren.
Lauren's, all right.
And I'm Kayla.
Kayla, and you guys hang out at the rooftop lounge often?
Once a year I come out to visit.
Okay, well, we timed it pretty well. All right, good. How are you guys feeling about root for the Braves today?
Oof, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
What about you? Are you a Braves fan now?
Not quite.
All right, I'm gonna go to work up here, guys. Good luck the rest of the way.
Okay, Wiley. You got four innings to get the numbers.
Come on.
Get us some more Braves fans.
All right, so they want me to get your number.
They want you to get my number.
I'm dead serious. They're saying in my ear right now, she doesn't believe me because she thinks you guys are not. I'm making this up. Even if you guys weren't, I might use that in the future. That's actually a pretty good move.
This is unbelievable.
So the best part of this right now is that Wiley could totally be faking it. This might be the new move. You just walk around with a FanDuel microphone and an earpiece in and convince fans that they're actually on TV.
I should have thought of this years ago.
I am speechless.
I got the number. We're good.
I don't understand what the problem is. There's legit. I can understand if it's, you know, you don't want to ask a girl out in this manner, but the legit outrage over this is a real thing. People are angry that they were joking around about getting these girls' numbers. And so I saw this story, and Olivia Harlan Decker said, "How does that offend you?" The daughter of the legendary broadcaster Kevin Harlan, she's a veteran sideline reporter herself, and she said, "How does that offend you? What's the problem here? These are long games, long seasons, and they're always trying to find something fun." She said, "People getting mad about the Braves reporter asking for the girl's phone number are insane. How does that offend you? It was innocuous and cute. Good TV, I'd say. It doesn't detract from the game or the season. Lighten up. I've been a team reporter, and the season is long. Producers are always looking for something different, memorable, ways to involve fans, or show some human interest around the game. Most of those interviews are duds. So good on him for having a sense of humor and rolling with it. If someone can show an example of a young woman getting fired over something similar, then you've got an argument. Until then, you can't just say a woman would have been fired for this. Middle of any early season baseball game on the regional team broadcast, his producer told him to get something colorful in the crowd. His booth is egging him on. The girl was playing into it, and it wasn't creepy. It's sports. It's entertainment. This wasn't a boardroom or an operating room. I'm dead serious. I agree with her, by the way. I agree. One ex-account said the segment showed insane double standards in sports, while another went more in-depth on the counter-argument. This is the dumbest thing and the dumbest outrage. The outrage for the other person when you don't know the full interaction or how they even felt about it. You don't know what was said and done before and after the segment, too. It's a great point. So, are we still going to ask women in sports if they're only going to do if they're only doing their job to date athletes? We could all agree how inappropriate and nasty this is. Someone else said, not to mention the double standard. What's the double? It's a they're joking around. They're having fun, having a good time. Lighten up, freaking lighten up! I would have done the exact same thing if I was a single guy in that moment. Exact same thing. It's funny. They could have said no. They could have walked away. The women could have walked away and be like, get out of here. I'm not giving you my number. And that would have been funny, too. Lighten the hell up. I don't know why everybody's got... I thought we were over the outrage era, but I guess we're... So did this guy get fired for this? He's not getting fired, is he?
Nah, I don't think so. He was even making jokes about it on X. He posted an image of... you remember that scene in Good Will Hunting where Matt Damon gets the girl's number and he...
Yeah.
He says, how do you like them apples, to the other guy who was trying to get the number but failed. He posted an image of that scene.
That's funny.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good response.
Yeah, and I hope he takes her out and I hope he marries her. That'll teach all the people that are outraged. Good for him. Not too hard on the eyes, either. And the girls aren't that bad, either, for that matter. Just kidding.
By the way, his response has well over a million views on X, so I think the vast majority of people are on his side. I think everyone has a complaint in 2025.
I'm just trying to understand why anybody would be offended by that. Anybody. I guess I'd have to take my brain out of my head to understand the offending nature of this encounter with this young man and these young women. I mean, are we not supposed to ask, are single guys not supposed to ask single girls out for dates anymore? Is that it? Did we pass some sort of a law against that? How are people supposed to get together if they don't ask for phone numbers? Really?
Like, also,
it
also didn't seem that serious. It was all in good fun.
Yeah, it was all in good fun. Absolutely. It was all in good fun, and they had a good time doing it, and maybe they'll all get lucky in life and find love. Okay?
Thank you for adding to that. They'll all get lucky.
They'll find love, and they'll be very, very happy. We're learning more details about the shooter in Florida, and apparently was a member of the Tallahassee Students for a Democrat Society. If this is true, and I don't know if it's true, if we can confirm it or not, but it would be another in a long string of crazy lefties doing very, very violent things. So we'll see if that's the case, and we'll find out more as the show goes on today. Do we have AOC doing her fake accent, by the way?
Yes.
Because I got to talk about this tomorrow night on Jimmy Fallon's show. And you know who else is on the show tomorrow night? Dana Perino. That's right. Which is actually Saturday night show. We're not pre-taping it on Friday. it's Saturday night show. But Dana Perino's on it, too. Look at that.
Nice save.
But the thing is that my restraining order, I'm not allowed to be within 500 feet of her, so I don't know how that's going to work. I guess we'll have to sit at different tables. I'm not sure. Do we have AOC's fake accent? Because this is going to be one of the topics for tomorrow night.
Yeah, we do.
All right, let's take a listen.
Donald Trump is a criminal who was found guilty of 34 felony counts of fraud, liable for sexual abuse. He's lying and abusing and manipulating the stock market, too.
That sounded like seven different accents to me, actually. They say it was just one. I heard seven. I heard Southern Baptist preacher. I heard Hispanic. I heard classic average everyday boring white person. I heard like seven different accents there. Am I missing any?
That was bad. That was real bad. J.D. Vance heard that clip, and I'm sure he's real excited about his chances in 2028.
They should definitely run her. She could totally win. Totally win. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, there's more details coming out about the shooter in Florida. I'll give you all those details. Plus, Nate Silver reveals who their pick is for the most likely Democrat presidential nominee in 2028. It might surprise you who they think is going to emerge. And George Clooney sporting a new do and trying to defend, justify getting Joe Biden out of the race for president. Garden State Earthworks, your go-to. Whenever there is water on your property, you want to reach out to my friends at Garden State Earthworks. Easiest phone number to remember, 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. GardenStateEarthworks.com. They are the real deal. And they will guarantee that they will drain the water away from your property once and for all, and you will be good. So, what are you waiting for? Spring is here, and that means spring showers, which bring May flowers, but also bring wet basements and damage to your foundation, destroyed swimming pools, destroyed swimming pool liners, so many things. You want to reach out to Garden State Earthworks today to have them fix it. And don't just go to a landscaper. See, my buddy Lou Vargo, he's the man, and he will take care of this, and he's the best there is. And he's busy this time of year, but you call him, you tell him I sent you, he'll make you a priority. And then they'll get the job done right, guaranteed. 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. Or GardenStateEarthworks.com. And have them drain the water away before it gets inside, before it causes the damage. That's what you need. GardenStateEarthworks.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Details are coming out about the shooter in Florida, and you're going to hear this story buried very quickly because it seems, at least from the initial reporting, that he's an anti-Trump, pro-Palestinian guy. So, shocking. We'll talk about that in the 6 o'clock hour with you. Plus, the president meeting with Giorgia Meloni, the prime minister of Italy. The question, of course, is who are the Democrats going to push for 2028? That's the question. Who are the Democrats going to push for 2028? Nate Silver making his predictions, the famous prognosticator, Nate Silver. I think it's kind of funny. Like, what do you mean these Democrats actually want to run? Apparently, they all want to run away from the party, at least the ones that want to be the pretending like they're different. They're different from woke. I'll tell you what James Carville said about David Hogg, who I'm sure is going to be speaking out now that there was a shooting on a college campus. So David Hogg, I'm sure, will be hogging the microphone, as he often does. But the reality is the Democrats are screwed right now because every person they have is either crazy or a fraud. Oh, really? I mean, Gavin Newsom's a fraud, and then you got crazy. And then you have people who are trying very hard to stay out of the fray, like Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. So we'll get into all that with you in the next hour. We got a lot more show to go. We're just getting warmed up here. So let's talk about Dr. Mike Veneria. He is my dentist. And what you want to do is think about the fact that spring is here, which means we're going to get into all the season to make memories, right? How's your smile doing, huh? Does it need some work? Do you need a new smile? Do you need an implant? Any complicated dental work that you need to see my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, let Dr. Mike take great care of you and your smile. You'll love the smile. You'll love the confidence that a new smile brings, and you will love the people in the office, too. They're great. They're really nice. The great music playing. And for 10 years in a row, 10 consecutive years, Dr. Mike Veneria has been recognized among his peers as a master of dental implants. So what are you waiting for? Go see him today. Just make your appointment at VeneriaDental.com. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Dr. Mike will give you the smile of your dreams. And also, you should just see a dentist because it's really good for your health to make sure you see a dentist. Get your smile checked. It's good for your overall health. There's such a connection there. So make it with Dr. Mike. VeneriaDental.com.